We're just going to read two passages from that relate to faithful service, and they're both the same passage from different gospel writers. The first one, we read it in one of the midnight Ishvaya services, Luke 12, verse 35. Can I bother you to read, John?
Let your ways be guarded and your lamps
lighted. We can't hear you.
Let your ways be guarded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Then Peter
said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over all over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committing things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more.
Glory be to God forever, amen. I think we could stop here, and that's the end of the lesson.
It's very scary.
But, thank you. We're just going to go through some quick slides. I know everyone has a lot to do tonight and on Sundays in general. But we just wanted to look, before we talk about in the context of the church, if I owned a business or if you owned a business, you'd want your business to be profitable, right? So you'd want to hire workers. And what two characteristics would you want in your workers?
Honesty.
Commitment. And commitment. Very good. Anything else? Hardworking, yeah.
Responsible.
Faithful. You want someone with decent experience, though, too. You want someone who's not foolish at what you're giving them, right? So it's the same as what we read. You want someone who's wise. So in the context of a business, you know, they need knowledge, they need experience, they need to be smart at what they're doing. And you want them faithful, like you said. You want them honest, trustworthy, loyal to you and loyal to the business. You don't want them to be cheating from your business, okay? So that's the business owner. And it's no different with our loving Lord. He has a kingdom, and he wants all souls to come to his kingdom. So he wants it to be profitable, not for his sake, but obviously for our sake and for all the souls he's trying to save. And he's called all of us to be, it's a blessing to be called and admitted into his service to help call all souls. So he's asking the same two characteristics of me as he does of all his servants, and that is, again, to be wise and to be faithful. Wise here doesn't mean clever in a worldly sense and cheating and, you know, maneuvering. wise in a straightforward, orthodox way according to the Lord's will. And faithful, obviously loyal to Him. Trustworthy, like you said, hardworking. Hardworking doesn't mean I have to kill myself. Hardworking means I have to do what is reasonable based on the talents and the abilities and what God has given me. Okay? So we did a matrix here of 2x2, looking on the x-axis, characteristics of a servant. There's servants who are dishonest and servants who are faithful. And on the y-axis, we have servants who are foolish and servants who are wise. So if we just click through, obviously, if I'm a servant, if I'm foolish and dishonest, you know, that's not very good. If I move my way up, if I'm dishonest, but I'm wise, but that kind of wisdom is not really heavenly wisdom. We chose to call it cleverness here, but it's not really wisdom. So that, obviously, as you all know this, so I'm just like, it's kind of nice to visualize it in the matrix. If I'm faithful, but I'm foolish. If I'm really, I love the Lord, but I'm foolish, I don't listen to the Lord. Then, you know, if I can't lead myself to the Lord, if I don't accept the Lord's words that are here as truth, so therefore by definition, if I'm not following the truth, if I'm not following wisdom, then I'm foolish. But I could say I'm faithful to the Lord. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not robbing money from His treasury or anything. I am faithful to the Lord, but that's no good either. So obviously, the Lord wants us all to be wise and faithful, blessed servants, like the servants in the parable that He gave. Okay, it says, blessed is the faithful and wise servant. Now, if I have wisdom alone, not faithful, like we said, we have to be careful because that wisdom is not from above. St. James goes as far to say that's demonic. You're doing what the devils do. That's earthly wisdom. That's sensual. That's demonic. Okay? Wisdom alone without faithfulness to the Lord is demonic. Demonic, devilish, demons. Faithful to the Lord but not wise, we said, is not good. But thank God, God gives us hope because none of us is born, you know, with the wisdom we really need to serve His flock. So again, St. James says to us, if any of you lacks wisdom, I lack wisdom, he says, no problem, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach. God's not going to reproach you when he asks for wisdom. He's not going to get, no, my beloved, you've had too much wisdom already, that's enough for you, okay? God's going to give you wisdom. It will be given to him. But he says, you can't just haphazardly ask without faith. There's really no point asking God for anything if I don't have faith in him. I don't have faith that He is able to give me. You know, often we think it's humility to say, no, God can't turn me around. That's not humility, that's foolishness. He just said, even if you lack wisdom, ask and He'll give you. But you have to have faith with no doubting, because He goes on to say, He does like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So, just to summarize, wise alone but not faithful, that's no good. And you have to be careful and you have to make an effort. I have to make an effort to repent. Don't think that wise but not faithful to the Lord. Wise here, for example, I may think I'm wise when I cheat on my taxes. That's not wise. You're not faithful to the Lord. The Lord didn't ask you. And you can say, no, but I'm going to give it to the church. No, He doesn't work that way. The saying that goes, the means justify the end is not a Christian saying. In Christianity, the what you do has to be good, but the way you do it and why you do it and your motives, all that have to be good. It's not enough to say, I'm serving. I get a blank check so I can go. No, I stole a projector from work to bring it to church. The Lord doesn't want a stolen projector, okay? So wise here has to be heavenly wisdom, which is accompanied by faithfulness to the Lord. Faithfulness has to be accompanied by wisdom, but we could all use more wisdom. And thankfully, the Lord said, just ask, but ask in faith. So far, so good. Please interrupt, and because if some of this doesn't make sense, and I tend to ramble quickly, and if you want me to slow down or speed up, just let me know, or if you have any comment, just say it along, like just shout it out or whatever. Okay? So if I lack faithfulness, that's a problem, because really my service would be hypocritical. I'm telling someone don't steal and I'm stealing. I'm telling someone don't swear and I'm swearing. If I lack faith, that's also a problem. Just ask the Lord to increase your faith, because faith comes, the more you experience the Lord, the more you have faith in Him, right? If you lack wisdom, And thank God we said there's a solution. We can ask God for wisdom, but I must ask having faith. And I really have to make an effort to seek wisdom and pursue it. But the dangerous part is the very bottom one, which is if I refuse wisdom. That's the problem. And here, an example of refusing wisdom is the verse that says, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. So he's refusing wisdom. Our God is wisdom. And if you're refusing to believe in Him and to accept Him, and God put in each of us, heard the sermon, it's a very nice meditation on what God gives us as human beings to distinguish us from animals. And human beings starts with H, so three things, you can remember them with H. The first thing is what's in my head. God gave me a reasoning mind. All my ambitions, my thoughts, my ability to logic things is above what an animal's brain has. I have a mind in my head. So that's number one. He gave me free will to use my hands to work. But He gave me the freedom to choose how to work or what to work. So He gave me a head with a mind. He gave me hands to work according to the freedom that I choose. I can choose to do good or bad. And He gave me a heart where His Spirit dwells. So those three things in our life, in order to be wise and faithful servant, we have to balance our time that we spend on those three things. I can't just be reading spiritual books all day long, 18 hours a day. I need time to pray for my heart, and I need time to serve and labor with my hands. I can't neglect my family and say, I'm not going to work today because I'm just going to stay home and pray and read. No, I'm responsible for my family. I have to work as well. He doesn't work, doesn't eat. So, as humans, we have a head with a reasoning mind. We have a heart where we can unite our spirits to the Lord, and we have hands to work, and we have to balance our time and our effort between prayer, readings, and works. And works here, I don't mean just spiritual works. I mean, you know, we have to work in this world. Okay, so now we just want to talk about wisdom for just a few minutes, because wisdom is often, there is an earthly wisdom, and by definition, that comes from below. And St. James also tells us about that earthly wisdom, that it's accompanied by envy and self-seeking. To distinguish it from heavenly wisdom, which comes from above, and St. James tells us it's accompanied by good conduct. So, what if I have this earthly wisdom? Because sometimes, you know, throughout life, we pick up things and habits, then we're told we have to get rid of it and confess and ask for it to be forgiven because, like it says in the scripture, that wisdom is from below, earthly, sensual, demonic. What if I don't have enough heavenly wisdom? We're already covered. We said we have to ask for God in faith. But it's really good to focus on these characteristics. If I think I have wisdom, but it doesn't have those characteristics that St. James listed out, then I don't have, it's not perfect wisdom yet. If it's not pure, if it's not peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. What's willing to yield? Yield fruits, excellent, that's the next word. But yield here is like when you come to a stop sign, says stop, or a yield sign, it means yield, allow the other one to pass. It means don't be stubborn in your ways. And this is very important as fellow servants, because we all have our ideas, and no one's trying to take down the church. We're all trying to do good here. But sometimes, like, we just can't do it all. So we have to give and take with each other. We have to be willing to yield. Full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality. So don't like, okay, you're my buddy, so I'm going to give you the good stuff. Sorry, you get the leftover stuff. Like, we just have to be fair and impartial. And obviously without hypocrisy. And hypocrisy comes easy if we have the wisdom, but we don't have the faithfulness. So, if I think I have wisdom now, of course, like we said, you never have enough wisdom, because wisdom is the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we come closer to Him, the more the image of Christ is imprinted in us and in our hearts, the more we're picking up more and more of His characteristics. So back to the wise and faithful servant. We said wisdom comes from above. You need to ask God for it in faith. To repent if I had the wrong kind of wisdom. Now on faithfulness. Faithfulness is what we want to just focus a bit of time, because wisdom will come from above, and the Lord will give you wisdom, and He'll shower you with wisdom And we're blessed here to have all of you full of wisdom and serving the children. And the children actually have wisdom and they're teaching us, but you can always get more wisdom. Faithfulness needs me to sit down and examine myself to see, what am I doing here? Why am I doing it? How am I doing it? Who am I doing it for? And you know, when am I doing it? So we're just going to focus actually on the why and the how. But while we have the rest of the questions up there, what I'm doing here, we're here, all here for service. We're not here just, you know, to spend time on a Friday afternoon instead of watching a football game or whatever. We're here to serve. So the what you're doing, what we're doing, thank God it's good. But we have to be careful because the why has to be good and the how has to be good. So the why is asking, what are my motives? Why am I serving? And we'll get to that in a second. The how is asking, how am I doing it? What's my behavior? What are the characteristics of my service? Am I doing it in a loving, caring, forgiving, and humble way? And who I'm serving? We say we're serving the Lord, we're serving the children. That's excellent. But first I actually need to serve myself. I need to feed myself. Like they say on airplanes, if, you know, God forbid something happens, put your own mask first before you help your child. Because if I'm not feeding myself from the Lord, there's no way I can feed my family or anyone else's children or his children. So I need my own quiet time, contemplation, self-examination, prayer time at home before I can say that I'm feeding myself so that I can help feed others with me and eat of the same table from the Lord. When I am serving, everyone here, thank God, is faithful and it prepares. But there's also, you know, are we equipping ourselves? Are we mentally prepared? Are we doing, you know, preparing so that we know exactly how we're going to portray the information to the children and have a dialogue with them? And of course, we all need to be repentant so that when we're serving, what we're telling others to do, you know, there's no point if we gain the whole world and then lose our soul in the end. So faithfulness requires self-examination and requires an honest self-examination and an honest effort on a regular basis. We're just going to jump to the why and the how, and then we'll wrap it up. So why am I serving? Okay? Perhaps I could say I serve because it brings me closer to God. Anyone think that's a good reason to serve? Don't tell me if that's your reason or not, but is that a good reason to serve? You don't think it's good because it brings you close to God? Okay, I serve because it brings others close to God. Is that a good reason to serve? Yeah, but it's not as good as the first one. It's good as long as the first one is true. It's no point me trying to bring you closer to God if I'm not bringing myself closer to God. Because that's what, you know, it's clear that I'm two-faced. I'm telling you to do something and I'm not doing it myself. So it's perfect as long as I'm bringing myself close to God first. I serve because it makes me feel good. Is there anything good or bad about that? Well, it really depends on why you feel good. Yeah. So, if I feel good because that was really nice or whatever, thank you, and I feel puffed up, then that's obviously not so good. If I feel good because, you know, in preparing for the lesson, I learned a lot and I came close to God, I realized, oh, that thing that I did, that wasn't good. I never really thought of it that way. The more I come closer to God, the more I see myself in the mirror and see all these blemishes and black spots that I didn't realize were there because I was busy looking for black spots everywhere else. So if I serve because it makes me come closer to God so that I can cleanse myself and I feel good that I've repented and the Lord accepted my repentance, then that's perfect. Of course, there's many other motivations to serve that we have to be very careful. Some of us were just forced to serve, whether our parents or a Bruno or whatever. And maybe that's what started us. But if that's your only reason for serving, like, you have to kind of self-examine, it's not going to last. You need to, it's fine if someone pushed you to serve, but do you really believe in what you're doing and why you're doing it? Serve just to keep busy? Well, you know, there's many other things that will come up and that will, you know, encroach on your time. So if you're just doing this just to fill time for now, it's not going to last. So something else will come and try and take your time away. Serve to have authority over others. I want to appear to be someone active in the community. Of course, those, as we all know, are not the best reasons to serve. Now the how, and we're going to focus on some negative points first. This material, I just heard it in a sermon from Father Vishoy Salem, who serves in Toronto. He gave this talk to servants many years ago, and if you just go to orthodoxsermons.org, look up his name, you'll find the sermons. And the sermon's labeled Orthodox, Characteristics of an Orthodox Leader. So he goes, be very careful in how you're serving. And I'm just going to read them out loud. If you're serving lacking love, if you're inconsistent, if you're untruthful, if you're not compassionate, if you're selfish, if you lack humility, if you're disorganized, if you measure success in either money or the number of attendees that come, if you're non-communicative, you're not able to communicate, if you have your own agenda, like the father's church say do this, and you're like, nah, I'm going to go 15 degrees to the west. That's not good. If you're micromanaging, say you're put in a position of authority, and you're like not letting people have any breathing room, you're like, no, you have to do it in this template and that, be careful. He's not, you know, and none of us don't have these, so like don't like feel bad. It's just, it's a nice kind of list to say, oh yeah, I've got A, B, C, D, E, I've got a lot of that one, I've got to work on that. If you have a small picture mentality and lose sight of why we're really here for the Lord. If you're never really supportive and you shoot down everyone else's ideas. If you're authoritarian, if you're arbitrary, you're not basing your decisions on some principle. If you're distrustful of others, if you waffle on issues, if you're lacking discernment. Now, discernment here is a big word. Discernment, we all need to pray to have more and more discernment. Discernment is what? Yes, distinguishing right from wrong. Because sometimes I hear a voice in my head. I don't know, is that Holy Spirit talking? Is that my own ambitions or is that the devil? Like, so you have to be able to distinguish. And it comes with training and it comes with wisdom and it comes with advice from your spiritual father. And I hope we're all taking advantage of our spiritual fathers, whether on a weekly or monthly basis or something along those lines. Micromanaging is like, say you're in charge of some part of the service and you have other fellow servants and you're not letting anyone do their bit. You're like, no, I want it done this way. It has to be like your way. Yeah, you're not letting, you're into all the details that you might as well not have them help you if you want it all done your way. And the last one is demeaning. Sometimes we have to be careful because, you know, sometimes we ask the children something and they give an answer. And it's clearly the wrong answer, but you have to still be encouraging and take the nugget of goodness out there and not like, what? Where did you get that from? Because these little things really hurt their self-esteem, and we need our children to be self-confident. We don't need them to be egocentric. We need them to be self-confident. We don't need them to be down on themselves. We need them to realize that they are someone important in the eyes of Christ. And they have to understand that in order for them to be able to get out there in the real world. And when the waves come at them, then they be able to stay on their ground. So that's Abu Nabi Shoaib Salama's list of what not to do, how not to serve. Now, thank God there's an even bigger list of what we're supposed to do. And let's hear it from his own voice. Let's see if this works. If it's too loud, I'm lowering it. I'm going to give up on it. I was hoping it would come through the speakers, but it's okay.
First of all, the ability to motivate, to show courage, give recognition, to be consistent, gentle, and not demeaning, confident, lead by example, knowledgeable, concerned for others, patient, cautious, obedient to God, humble, and not egocentric, set goals and follow up with them, seek quality of faith, are organized, communicate effectively, are good teachers, have clarity, make it look easy, have core values and standards, are trustworthy, live servanthood, inspire and encourage, open your view, have a vision, are accessible, take ownership and responsibility, are good stewards, are honest and have integrity, understand people and like them, ability to connect with other people. What about some of the characteristics that are least effective in leaders that could deter or hinder your ministry? If we are inconsistent, untruthful, not compassionate, selfish, lack humility, disorganized, measure success in either money or in numbers of attendees, are non-communicative, having our own agenda, micromanage, meaning looking at the smaller picture, not at the bigger picture, never supportive, anti every new idea, are authoritarian, arbitrary, distrustful of others, waffle on issues, lack discernment, and are demeaning. In conclusion, I want to say important things to be present in a role.
Yeah, we'll stop there. So, I don't think anyone has all of this. So, I mean, it'd be great if we had 25% of this, but I thought it's a good list to kind of look, I might be, now I'm going to work on number 3 and number 8, and then once I make progress, then I'll work on others. Yes, sir.
What does he mean by
make it look easy? That one I struggle with as well, because I think when you are with others, don't leave here and complain, oh, I had to teach, and you know I was up till like 1 in the morning preparing the lesson. The kids were so rowdy that like if I start doing that, then I don't think my daughter is going to be too eager to get into service, because I'm making it look like it's a real pain. Like, why would anyone do it? So it's not easy, but there's no point complaining to everyone else about it. You want to complain to the Lord, like, because service is not easy, but make it look easy is not like to lie and try to trick people, but just don't just portray the negative aspects of the service externally, or else it kind of
simplify life.
Yeah, keep it simple, be thankful for what there is. Okay. Finally, so we read a chapter from which was taken from the Isbaya Midnight Prayer. Now we're going to read just one more verse. Sorry, not verse, one more reading. This one is actually not from the Isbaya Midnight Service, but the Midnight Service, we pray the chapter right after this. Matthew 25, does anyone remember what Matthew 25 is? The parable of the 10 virgins, right? Which also applies to us as servants, we need to be prepared. But right before the Lord gave that parable, he gave this one. Go ahead.
Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you. So that's the same story, parable that we read from at the beginning from Luke. It's from St. Matthew. And here at the end of St. Matthew, in the beginning, the following chapter, the parable of the virgin is applicable to our life. And just in conclusion, so faithfulness requires me to self-examine my motives, why I'm serving, how I'm serving, and to make an honest effort. Wisdom comes from above. And does it come from us? It's not intrinsic in us, but it comes from our loving Savior. And it requires me to repent if I had what I thought was wisdom, but was really the wrong kind of wisdom. Good? Okay. Since you read last, you get to pick who's going to pray for us.
Oh, we get to pick.
Yeah. Whoever you give the microphone will pray. It's done, John. Go.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Thank you, God, for gathering us here together today to hear your word and to have communion with you. Please, Lord, let us be as faithful servants so that we may get closer to you and, by our example, lead others to come to you. Bless our week, bless our lives, and be with us always. Amen.
Father,